are listening to Pervasive Happiness with Tommy Moser.
Thanks for tuning in to Pervasive Happiness. Tommy Moser here, as always, doing all I can to figure out how to enjoy every second of my life and help teach others how to do the same as well. Welcome to past life and add into as I venture into the next life. And, the premise is this. I've left the faith of Christianity. And normally, if you're any halfway normal person like me, you would think, who cares? Why would you announce that? Why would that matter? And, I'll tell you why it matters is because so many people have sent me so many messages and have a problem with it that I just felt like for once and for all, I kind of want to address some of the questions, things that were asked. I've gotten literally over, I've responded to at least 100 messages and emails and probably 100 that I'm not going to respond to. The bottom line is this, and a couple things. Let me just throw a couple things out there. You know, it shouldn't matter to anyone if someone says, hey, you know what, I don't think I agree with this ideology anymore. You know, my question would be, why do you care so much what someone believes? And let me start with a couple things. My decision to leave religion, to leave Christianity, has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus and my thoughts on him, my beliefs on him and his life and his teachings, nothing whatsoever. And I know a lot of you hardcore Christians will not agree with that, and that's okay. That's okay. So the other thing I want to point out is it is absolutely okay if you don't agree with me. I'm not asking for you to agree with me by any stretch of the imagination. I have come to a point in my life where, here's at the bottom line, I am committed to 100% every day for the rest of my life being as real as I can and as honest as I can. And it doesn't mean I'm right. It doesn't mean I certainly don't have all the mysteries of the universe figured out and don't want to pretend to. But I can no longer pretend to believe things that just don't work for me, that don't make any sense to me at all. And and I get it. It's for 12 years I was a pastor at a mega church, and I get that it's a little bit, when you just decide suddenly, you know what, this faith is not for me anymore. I don't believe the same things you believe. I can see where there would be a lot of questions. But what I didn't see coming was, I guess I should have, I've been dealing with Christians for a long time, is the just flat out attacks and some of the relentless accusations, attacks, everything. And those are kind of some of the things I want to address. And let me make something perfectly clear. I'm not anti-Christian by any stretch of the imagination. My family, friends, there's all kinds of people. I know some of the most wonderful people in the world are Christian. Some of the most wonderful people in the world are atheists. Some of the most wonderful people in the world are Muslim. You know, it that has nothing to do with it. It's not the Christian people, but there's a percentage of that religion that is just, I don't even know a better word for it than just rabid. And unfortunately, when you're a church of, if the church is around 7,000 people, at one point it was 15,000, you're going to have a certain percentage of people that are a little bit nuts. And those are the ones that kind of started trolling me and saying a lot of different things. So there's some of the things that I wanted to address, and I wanted to make it for sure, first off, has nothing to do with my believings in Jesus or anything like that. This has to do with what I've seen in religion and in Christianity. And it's simply this. I woke up one day, maybe, I don't know, I haven't worked at the church for 2 years, so it's probably 3 years ago, or a year and a half, so maybe 2.5 years ago. I woke up one day and I was just tired of being right. I was part of an evangelical church, and evangelical to me means, you're going out and tell people they're wrong. They're going to hell, essentially, if they don't believe the same as you believe. And one day I just woke up and that just didn't work for me anymore. I just didn't believe it. And I made a suggestion one time that, I said, I don't even think that hell is a literal hell. I think it was probably just made up by religion to control people. And man, you would have think that I stepped on a kitten or something. I mean, the pitchforks came out. And that was for me, that was the beginning of the end. And that was where I really started asking questions of what is my true beliefs? What do I really believe about this? And if there's anything you get out of this, is do not be afraid to ask questions. The truth is okay with being questioned. It'll either make your faith stronger or it'll turn it into a house of cards. But either way, anyone who tells you not to question what you're taught, what your preacher tells you, what anyone has taught you in your life, that's some cultish behavior right there. And that's kind of what I ran into, because the organization I worked for, if you questioned anything, you were immediately escorted from the building within a couple of days. I remember a couple of times we would see walk in and security be around a pastor's desk as they usher him out. You know, I obviously had some challenges and wasn't a smooth breakup with the church I worked at, but that really has nothing to do with why I no longer hold the same belief as the Christian faith. It has really nothing to do with it at all. I really just got to a point where I kind of said to myself, you know, it just, to me, this idea that, I mean, think about it. For thousands and thousands of years, since the beginning of time, millions of people have been killed in the name of God, in the name of my God is the God, my people are God's people, and everyone else is not. I mean, since the days of way back in Israel, all the way through the Christian Crusades, through the Muslims do it now. And the one thing that's the same about every single religion is they all believe they are right. And I just had a hard time with you know, this absolute rightness that if you don't believe like I believe, you're going to hell. And it really got to a point where I was thinking, you know, what's the difference in, you know, if I'm going to say, okay, my people are the only people that God loves. My people are God's people. Whoever I decide, or my pastor decides, are God people. And whoever we don't decide, because they didn't say this prayer or do this, that, or the other, they're going to hell. It got to a point for me where that's the same thing as racism. That is religion is the big divider of humanity since the beginning of time. And I just woke up one day and I said, I don't want to be a part of that anymore. I can't say that, you know, Gandhi went to hell because he was, you know, not Christian, or Mother Teresa went to hell because she was Catholic. You know, some of that stuff, it just makes so little sense to me that I finally one day looked around at these religious leaders and I was like, you know what? God is not your cosigner. None of us. God is not your cosigner. It's great. And I'm not here to attack anyone else's beliefs. I'm talking about my opinion, my experience, where I stand. The only reason I'm even sharing this is because I've had literally hundreds of communications saying, hey, what's going on? Accusations, all this kind of stuff. So I want to kind of address them. Number one, I'm not, this is not just because I'm mad at the church. I'm not mad at the church. That's. I mean, obviously the organization I worked for, it was not a good organization. It just wasn't, for me anyway, my opinion. But that has nothing to do with my faith. It has nothing to do with what I think about God. And it wasn't, you know, I get these questions, you know, did you stumble? Did you start to, and all this other stuff. Did you have an affair? All this kind of stuff where it's just like, man, it's so prideful for people to think that because I decide I don't believe the same as they believe, that there must have been something bad that happened. Or I'd get this one, you know, are you mad at God? No, you know what? To me, it's just some of the things that communications I've received are just gross. And again, it's not from everyone. It's you know, it's like an 80-20. 80% of people of faith, that, you know, my thing is, if you want to be like Jesus, great, be like Jesus. But as soon as you start to say, be divisive and say, I'm going to judge whether you're going to hell or not, or whether you're living your life. I just didn't want to live by those rules anymore, period. I did not want to be held accountable by the Christian community. So I just decided, you know what? I'm out. I don't need any part of this at all. It doesn't mean that I don't have tons of friends that are still Christians. It just to me was, I felt like it was important to just say, you know what? I'm not holding myself to your standard anymore. So stop sending me the judgmental reasons. There's two reasons that I left Christianity. Number one is the judgmentalness of it. This idea that you're somehow God's people and everyone else is wrong except you. I mean, where does that even come from? You believe that your Bible is the Word of God. Okay. It's written by man, first of all 66 books. And which Bible are you talking about? Are you talking about the Catholic Bible, which actually has more chapters in it? Are you talking about the Christian Bible? Are you talking about the Book of Mormon? Because they say they're Christians too. And Jehovah's Witness? No, you're talking about what you believe. If you're Mormon, you believe your faith and everyone else is wrong. If you're Christian, you believe your faith and everyone else is wrong. If you're Jehovah's Witness, you believe your faith, everyone else is wrong. Muslim, your faith, everyone else is wrong. It just stopped making sense to me. I looked into how the Bible was canonized. I mean, when you say that the Bible is absolute truth, well, have you looked at how much it contradicts itself? Have you looked into how it became the Bible? Have you looked into how the canon process? I mean, part of the process was a bunch of religious people sat around and they decided which ones feel like scripture and which ones don't. I mean, why is there Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Why was the Gospel of Thomas left out? They said, well, it doesn't feel like scripture, but John feels like scripture. I've sat around a bunch of religious leaders and I don't have the faith that they have the absolute truth. And I'm not here to question your faith. I'm here to express this is why I came to where I am. One of the values I've gotten from podcasting, from doing all this stuff, is I get to really think through what is really going on in here, you know, and express my ideas. Again, I'll say it 100 times. I don't have to be right. You don't have to agree with me. This is just me being real and me being honest and my experience. You know, it's not in a vacuum either. I was a pastor for 12 years and I did go to Bible college and I've been seeking God for 20 plus years. Even before that, you know, I don't believe that this is something that I just flippantly woke up and was just like, oh no, this doesn't make sense. It just to this idea that God is contained in your little tiny, that your church, that all of the creator of the universe and everything is contained in the Bible and in your church and your God's people and everyone else is not, it's just wrong. I just can't buy it anymore. So it doesn't work for me, you know. So the whole idea of the judgmentalness and deciding that who's God's people and who's not, you know what? I can't do it anymore. God is not your cosigner. I don't care who you are. I don't care how ordained you think you are. I'm ordained, but God's not my cosigner. I don't get to just say whatever I believe. You know, and who decides which verses to focus on in the Bible? The whole thing, it just, you know, everyone picks what they want to believe and they build their mind around what they want to believe. They don't take the whole thing into consideration. And it died for me. The whole idea of the church of Christianity died to me. You know, the church, the word church is not even mentioned in the Bible as pertaining to a building anywhere. A total man-made thing. There was no such thing as church that was a building in the Bible. That was all made up by man. And to sustain that, to, you know, I was a professional Christian. And you know, and I get it as a business model. It's actually, you know, I smile because it's kind of an awesome business model. I mean, you expect 10% of people's money and there's absolutely no product or service in return. Just basically, God's going to be mad if you don't get it. You know, that's, to me, that's wow. That's pretty bold. But it's so indoctrinated in our culture that everyone just kind of buys it. You know, even that, biblically, if you want to take Christian theology, that's not even biblical to take 10% of your money. There's more verses in the Bible about money than there is love. And there's one lone verse in the Old Testament that says, bring to me a tithe of the land. It's talking about people's grain. It's not even talking about money. One lone verse, and it's in the Old Testament. And Jesus came, if you believe Christian theology, and fulfilled the entire Old Testament. So, yet, we need money, so we'll take that one verse, and that one's okay to be, you know, used as the New Testament. But my thing is, if you're going to follow that, do you have to follow all the laws of the Old Testament? Because there's a whole bunch of them. Read Leviticus. You're going to follow all those laws, or are you just going to follow laws that you're taught by your teachers and your preachers? And it just, you know, I get it. You got bills to pay. You know, even Jesus said, don't give out of obligation. You know, so, you know, if you want to give, and again, happiness is my thing. I want to enjoy every second of my life. I love the art of living. I'm not mad at the church, Christians, Muslims. I'm not mad at anything. I'm just no longer going to be held accountable to it. But if you want to take, you know, the for my opinion, for my books, an awesome book, Aloha from Nebraska, you can get it online. The three pillars of happiness are focus, grow, and give. Give is something you will have to do in your life if you want to have a life worth living. You must give. That's not my opinion. That's just life. Any life lived just for yourself is hardly a life worth living. You have to find a way to give. But that being said, I'm not talking about giving out of obligation. Even Jesus said, don't give out of obligation. You know, so I had a hard time with, I had a very, very hard time with the level of judgment and the level of control, in particular, about their money, which verses you're supposed to focus on. You know, so at the end of the day, it was one of the best experiences I've ever had in my life working at a church. But it just, for me, again, I'll go back to it, I'll say it again, this is just my opinion, how I see it. It was like the junior high of spirituality. I never stopped seeking God. You know, I didn't lose my faith. Like someone emailed me, you must be mad at God, whatever, you're frustrated with God. I'm not frustrated with God. On the contrary, my faith is stronger than it's ever been. It just is not, you know, I've thought, and I just came to a conclusion that it wasn't for me. Again, doesn't mean that I'm right, doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It just, you know, it's me. I've decided and committed to being real, and I found religion to be very divisive. I watched Christianity blatantly attack homosexuality. You know, if you don't believe in, I mean, we invested hundreds of thousands of dollars to fight that whole Prop 8 bill. And I just remember thinking, you know, if you don't like gay marriage, don't marry someone that's your same sex. Why is it, I could not get my head around why it's so important to just attack and so much hate spilled out just because someone is homosexual. It never sat well with me. You know, the judgmental, again, it goes back to we're right because we have God's word, and you're wrong if you don't if you don't agree. I'm getting some funny messages right now. You know, the flip side of it, and I'm going to end on a total bright side of everything. You know, this again, it's the 20%, it's the 80-20 thing. It's the Pareto principle. 20% of the people are the ones who focus on hell and judgment. Most Christians that try to just be like Jesus, and again, I'll say it like I said in the beginning, this has nothing to do with my beliefs in Jesus and how he lived his life, because he was ultimately came and taught us how to live our life. And there are people that I know that are some of the genuinely best people in the world that truly try to be like Christ, but there is that percentage that believe God is their cosigner, and those are the hyenas that nip all the time and made me just be like, you know what, I'm done with all you people, not my freaking accountability partner anymore, ever. You know, and I get it. When I worked on staff at a church, people give their money, and I knew inherently, you know, they were paying my bills, you know, I was getting a salary, and I was open to people's input then, because I know they were giving me, you know, I was there. I had a job because of their, so in my mind, because I'm business minded, they're my customers. So I always thought of the people of the church when I worked there as my customers. So I was open to what they had to say. They had all kinds of crazy stuff to say. Even then, I was at least open to listen to it. But once I didn't work there anymore and they turned up the volume and started really insisting that I repent and change my ways and I'm going to hell and all this stuff, that's when it was like, you know what? I'm done. Let's break up because I'm not on the payroll anymore. You know, I have, when I look at my whole experience, I couldn't have found, there's no way I could have paid for the education that I got. And I was just thinking, I just started jotting down, you know, and this is, what's funny is I'm like the best case scenario for someone to attack because I don't care. My whole life, I'm not afraid of, I mean, I wasn't afraid of the police department, the government, anything. It's just never been my thing to rebel. So I'm certainly not going to be scared of a bunch of mega church people are coming after me. You know, so it didn't, what if I was thin skinned? What if I was a sensitive person and I had these questions and just got run over because you can't question Christianity? So think about this for a second. I had at least 10 communications of how dare I question Christianity. And one person even said, you know, the devil does that. You know, as a Christian, you expect Mormons to question their faith and then come over to your team, right? You expect Jehovah's Witness, you expect atheists to question their faith, you expect Muslims to question their faith and come over to your side, but don't question your own faith. You know what that is? That's a cult. That's a cult. You should encourage people to question because God is not afraid of being questioned. If you're encouraging people not to ask questions, you may be in a cult. You know, I have I'm not saying any particular church is cult. I'm just saying that's cultish behavior when you do that. You know, I get still, you know, and I kind of laugh because I have thick skin because the executive team on my old organization, they reached out to someone just recently that did a podcast interview with me and said, hey, you can't hang out with him. Like, literally, the executive team where I used to work after me not being there for a year and a half is reaching out to people and telling them not to communicate with me and talk to me. Now, really? Is that Jesus? No, that's not. That's some man-made, that's some mafia stuff right there. And again, it's only because I'm thick-skinned and I don't care. That kind of stuff actually makes me laugh more than anything else. But what if I was someone who cared? What if I was someone who was easily hurt? That would be, you know, that would be a bummer of a thing to hear. I want to touch base on the good things I got out of it because I'm, you know, the happiness guy. This is a special episode of me just kind of putting a final closure onto something because I do have some deep spiritual beliefs that I want to start to talk about, and I don't want to sit there and have to defend them all the time back and forth to everyone because I'll tell you right now, what I believe is not in line with the Christian faith. And again, has nothing to do with my beliefs in Jesus and who he was and who he said he was and what he did. It has to do with the control and the judgment that comes with the Christian faith, which I don't believe Jesus had anything to do with at all. If you look at his life really closely, you realize who he didn't like was the religious leaders. I mean, take a look at some of the churches. You really think Jesus would be part of some of those leadership teams? I doubt it. I don't want a part of anyway. And again, it's not, this is just my opinion. It's not really my place to judge, even though I'm judging. That's what people do. It's just me. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. You know, I still go to church. And, you know, I do mostly because, you know, that's the other thing is I go because my wife wants to go and my kids want to go. And the one of the things I got is, you know, all, like, I must be upset with my, I don't know, I forget how it was worded, something like that. How's everything? My marriage must be going bad or something. It pissed me off when someone brings up my marriage because I have the best marriage ever. And it has nothing to do with an old-fashioned social contract of we're married and I committed to her and that's, I'm going to stay forever. Here's what it has to do with. My wife is awesome and I love her. And she's a great wife and she's a great mom and she's a great business partner and she's my best friend. And so for that, I say, you know, I'm 100% in on this and we continue to build on it. And, you know, any of you who are married know marriage is tough. You got to add into it and do a lot of different stuff, just like parenting's tough. But, you know, it's so, to me, it's so prideful that someone would think something must be wrong with you if you no longer believe the Christian faith. Here's the thing. If God loves who you love and hates who you hate, you've created God in your image. That is not, you're creating God in your image if suddenly you're the one that God co-signs you and you get to decide who's good and who's bad. And that's where I found myself on the other end of it. Now, as far as the experience went itself, Christianity for me was a great experience. Again, I believe it was like the junior high of spirituality. It's something you go through. It's not something I wanted to stay in forever. But I ran into and met so many good people, like legitimately awesome people along the lines. And I took like 2 minutes and I literally could write names for days on the people that I ran into that just really changed my life. So I feel like I want to mention them because I want to end on, I don't want to come across as I hated the whole experience. I loved the experience and I'm just moving into a different chapter of my life. And I don't want to have to defend that. And so I'm not gonna, the more messages and stuff I get anymore, no, I don't want to sit down and hear why I should be, you know, because I love talking about God and I talk to people about God all the time. Here's what I found though. When you talk to this 20% of the Christians, they're not talking to you about God. They're trying to regurgitate and influence you. They're not like listening. It's just, no, you've got to believe. You got to come back to believe. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. You know, and that's to me, that's not talking about God. That's, I respect that you believe that. But when you expect me to believe it just because you believe it is where I just, those conversations are not enjoyable for me anymore. Because really, what I believe and what you believe is simply that. It's what we believe. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth. And I know that rattles a lot of you Christians' cages because you believe what you believe is the absolute truth. Well, guess what? So does every other religious zealot of any other religion. They believe what they believe. If you were brought up Muslim, you'd believe that, and you'd believe that what you believed was the truth. It's not a bad thing. It just becomes a bad thing when it becomes divisive to humanity, when it becomes something where millions and millions of people through the last thousands of years have been killed over is who's right about God. That's just, to me, that's just not from God. But the good parts of, you know, I was going through and even, you know, I think it's a miracle that I survived at a mega church for 12 years. And I think part of it was because in my core, what I hate, and I've put a lot of thought into this. This isn't just, oh, I think I'll do a podcast and piss all the church world off. I put a lot of thought into this because what drove me to want to be in a church, and I think at the end of the day, in my heart and my soul, I hate suffering. I hate seeing suffering. I mean, everything I did at the church had to do with outreach, and I loved it. And there was over 200 outreaches towards the end, over 3,000 volunteers every month. And I loved that part of it. I was never a big fan of the Sundays. I mean, I went, it was fun, it was an experience, but it wasn't why I did what I did. And some of the people, and you know, I just feel like I want to give a shout out to a couple of these people. Michelle, who helped me start, Matt, one of the most awesome people ever, still helps me to this day. Just one of the most organized giving persons. She basically these are all volunteers too, volunteer status, just gave all of her time and basically created the whole structure for the outreach. They could have an infrastructure and grow into 200 ministries. Mark Richardson, who is one of the most awesome human beings I've ever met in my life, was the first person. I have so many good stories about him. First person I officially hired. Stephanie was my another one of my admins. And these people, if you could survive me and still like me, you're an awesome person. Christina Paiva, still there. But she was one of the awesome people that helped with the outreach. Sharon helped with the outreach for Deka. Kimberly, man, I feel so bad for Kimberly. She literally got thrown off the boat. She literally got fired because she worked for me. It was terrible the way she was treated. But I appreciate you, KJ, because you are a star. And you landed on your feet and you landed in a much better place. And, you know, God just worked it all out. Rebecca, who was awesome, also thrown off the ship for associating with me. Steve Goebel, who's awesome. I believe he thinks I'm a heretic at this point, but awesome guy. Scotty James, who's now a pastor at another church. One of the most good guys I know. Zebulon Hill, another one. Man, these guys are just like, these guys, I have such a deep admiration and love for the people that I met there because of their realness and their willingness to serve. Greg Hendricks, who came down from way up north, recruited him, came down, brought him in, and he's, you know, August Hunter. These people were, you know, Tim Neisler, Lisa, these people just had the most pure, I just had pure joy when I think of their name, when I think of this experience of my church. And that's not even to mention the outreach leaders. Some of the outreach leaders, these guys were all volunteers, and they literally built nonprofit, full-on businesses out of what they're doing. You know, Lisa Walker, who also got me into comedy. Marcy Hansen, who started the Share Ministry, one of the most pure-hearted people I've ever met. We had a ministry, JC's Girls, Sherry and Teresa led. Teresa's still to this day one of the funniest. I swear she's somehow my twin. She's Hawaiian and I'm Hawaiian too by soul. I swear she's my twin. Who else? I wrote down some names on here. Oh, David Powers, who they kicked out, knife in the back on the way out. But, you know, guy helped more people get clean and sober than anyone I know. Tommy Hawthorne, who's now started a whole recovery. Between these two, they've started a recovery empire of people. Literally, they put their whole lives into helping people get clean and sober. You know, Mingo, still my friend today. He got in a little trouble because he did, you know, he associates with me. So he may be kicked out of the church as well for associating with me. maybe not. There's a, you know, There's a few people that I have some regrets, and I feel like there's a few people that I want to apologize to, because this situation or this culture was so hardcore and intense, you know, that there was people that when I look back on, I think, man, I didn't handle that right. And there's I started thinking some of the people, because I really put some thought into this whole experience, the Christian experience, and you know where I'm really at and what I'm really thinking. There's people I want to apologize to, you know, Anthony Miller. Works now at another church, just a great, great guy. And for some reason, when we worked together, we were just butting heads. And probably me, I'll admit, I know it's going to be hard to believe, but I have capacity to be an a-hole. But it just one of those guys that I got to know him afterwards. And I was like, man, me and this guy in a different context would have been like best friends. And Ted Vaughn, another guy that I didn't give as much grace and credit for as I could have, and come to meet him and get to know him afterwards. He's one of the most brilliant people that I've ever known. I feel like I got to look words up when I'm talking to him, but he really understands organization and churches better than anybody that I've really talked to. You know, some of the graphics guys, Ben and Jonathan, I just ended up being sideways with people that were really good people, and I feel like I owe them an apology, so I apologize to you. You know, one guy in particular, George, who has gone off and started another church, you know, I had an opportunity to stick up for him, and I didn't. I let him get thrown under the bus, and for that, I truly regret, because I just got so sucked into the, I don't know what it was, because it's not me. I usually am the guy who sticks up for someone, and this particular opportunity came up. You know, so I owe him an apology, but you know, because he's one of the most real deal guys there. And you know, I've met, when it comes down to, you know, when it's all said and done, I've met some real, real, real cool people through the church that I'm still friends with and will continue to stay friends with for the rest of my life. You know, and this message is primarily to just kind of put some closure onto, you know what, you're gonna have to be okay with me not posting biblically correct stuff, you know, and if me believing differently than you is you believe a reason for you not to hang out with me, well then, you know what, I love you, bye. I don't want friends in my life who expect me to mimic and parrot and believe exactly like they do. I mean, whose theology is perfect and correct and 100% spot on, that they're the one that's the gold standard? And you know what, I don't believe the same thing I did now as I did 5 years ago. And in 5 years from now, I won't believe the same thing that I believe right now. You know, maybe God's got me in a process, and who knows what it is. But when people start to bring out the pitchforks, you know what? That's when I'm like, you know what? F you guys, bring it. Come to my house if you want. Because I'm not super good. I did pretty good being attacked when I was on staff, because again, I gave people the benefit of the doubt because they were paying my salary. You're not paying my salary anymore, so I don't care if you agree with me. You're not my accountability partner. Especially some of the people I don't even know. I got an email yesterday from someone. I mean, a message, this long message, and I was like, I've never seen this dude in my life, and why would he think he's my freaking accountability partner? He literally started with, I need to hold you accountable on a few things. No, dude, you're not my fucking accountability partner. Dang it. I just remembered my mom watches these. So sorry, Mom. My mom's always getting me for cussing. I might have to edit that part out for the for the podcast. You know what? If you're my friend and you have my phone number and we hang out, we talk, yeah, of course I'm open to what you have to say. But if you're someone who doesn't even know me, dude, you're not in charge of telling me what I'm going to do and what I'm going to not. So I'll end with this final encouragement, because the biggest surprise for me is that people had a fit about me questioning religion and questioning what they believe God is all about. You know what? Do not be afraid. God can handle your questions. Because here's the thing, truth is not afraid of questions. Maybe it will make your faith stronger. Start asking yourself, start looking at your stuff, you know, the stuff that contradicts in the Bible. What does that mean? You know, I'll never forget the first time I came across Proverbs 26, I think it is, 5 and 6, where it says, it literally says, two verses right back to back that contradict each other. One says, don't answer a man according to his folly, lest you blah, blah, blah. The next verse says, answer a man according to his folly, lest you. And I remember going to a Bible teacher, and I remember saying, which one is correct? These things are in direct opposition. And he said, well, you know, that's where he gave me some kind of fancy. The Lord gives you discernment, this, that, and the other. So at the end of the day, I was thinking, so I decide what's right? And it was kind of one of those things where I could never unring that bell. It's like, wait a minute. I get to decide what is true and what's not. And then you as a teacher get to decide. You know, start asking those questions and come to a point where you're okay with your faith. You know, it's either a house of cards or it's a rock. You know, it can be, I'm not saying because it became a house of cards for me that it needs to become a house of cards for you. What I am saying is if someone tells you not to question anything, you need to run because that's like a cult. And that's exactly what I was told and exactly what, you know, some of the stuff that happened. And it just, it caused me to question more. And I got to a point where, you know what, I'm now rock solid in what my belief is and what my faith is. I mean, life is too wonderful and awesome and amazing to not have God have spun it into existence. It's just it would take more faith to think that this all just happened. So I don't believe that for one second at all. I can't buy the exclusivity of God is contained in only Christianity. It just doesn't work for me anymore. You know, if it works for you, great. And it just doesn't work for me anymore. And I'm not willing to argue about it anymore. And again, the whole reason I did this whole thing is because anyone else, they lose their faith, they go somewhere else. So no, it doesn't matter. You know, I get it though. I worked at a church for a while. So I wanted to just kind of put a final period on the last point of my life and then go forward with the rest of my life. I look at life like this. Life is like a quick roller coaster ride. You know, you get on the roller coaster. When you get on a roller coaster, you don't sit there and look around and think what everyone else is doing with their religion. What are they wearing? What color are they? You get on the roller coaster ride. You just enjoy the ride. It goes up. It goes down. It spins around, flies around, and it's over. I think when we get to the end of our life, my belief is we're going to look at it like that. We're going to be like, dang, that went quick. The whole point was to just enjoy this massive blessing that God's given us to live life and have this short, brief 100-year roller coaster ride and then get off the ride, you know, and not ruin it with all the stuff that we ruin it in. So I'm trying to rebrainwash myself into enjoying every moment of my life. And part of that is helping others to enjoy their life. And, you know, that's what pervasive happiness is all about. Is, you know, I got a wife and three kids, and I can't have them sit there and watch the news and be stuck in this. You know, that's the other question they kept asking. Well, what does your wife think? What does your wife think? You know, my wife left the church a long time before I did. I mean, she's still Christian. She's not like me. She's not one that's going to get out there and talk about it and do all this. You know, she's Christian, but she left where we were at a long time ago. She saw stuff long before that I saw it. And like I said, you know, she drugged me to church. And I looked for every reason not to go. And it's the Church of Rancho Bernardo. And the place is the most awesome group of people. It's funny. It's God's sense of humor because I love this place to death. The pastor is just, I'm looking for things for him to say something that's judgmental. And he just doesn't, you know. And it's kind of one of those things that helped me start to unwind and realize, hey, man, there's a lot of wonderful people in the Christian faith. There's a lot of wonderful people that are in Mormons, that are a lot of wonderful people that are of all different faiths, you know, that are just doing their best to try and be like God and try and be like Jesus. That's what I'm doing too. I just no longer want to associate or be part of a group that says we are all absolutely right and you are all absolutely right. And I know all the stuff. I've heard all the arguments. Believe me, I've argued all the arguments. You know, Jesus was divisive. Yeah, you know what? Look into him a little closer. I think he was a little bit more hard on the divisive people than you might give yourself credit for. I think we all, deep down, we want to be right. We have this deep, huge desire to be right, and I'm fighting against that because I don't want to be right. I don't want to ever stop learning. I don't want ever, ever, ever stop seeking to grow and to get better and learn and do more and more with my life because I think growth, you know, focus, grow, and give. Growth is a huge key to happiness. Progress equals happiness. So I'm trying to grow as much as I can spiritually, and part of that process is to move from this phase on to the next. So anyway, if this helped you, great. If it's something that you don't agree with, great. Keep scrolling. Keep turning the channel. That's fine. I'm okay. If you don't disagree, we don't have to agree. I love you. Bye. If you're someone who wants to judge me and give me cut and paste a bunch of verses, you can do that all you want. I won't read it, but you know that's just because I'm tired of the process that it took to walk away from the religious folk out there. Anyway, I'll see you guys next week. This is Pervasive Happiness on iTunes. Look me up on the channel. Listen to the other episodes. Almost forgot to give a shout out to my sponsor, Gamergy. Gamergy, best energy drink ever. I don't play video games, but I do drink energy drinks, and this is the best one. And also Eric Barnes from did that intro on the beginning, which I'll play again at the end, which is awesome. His band is To the Wolves. If you want to look him up on Instagram, To the Wolves does the music on there. I love you guys. You're created to be happy. Start living like it.